The nation bids its final farewell to former President Ronald Reagan today. This morning, his body was brought from the Capitol Rotunda to a funeral service at Washington National Cathedral and later to Andrews Air Force Base. From there, the casket is making the return trip to California for a sunset burial tonight. This is the last leg of a long journey for the 40th president, who died Saturday at the age of 93. NPR's Pam Fessler reports.
Like most funerals, President Reagan's was a reunion of sorts, of old friends and even one-time rivals. A frail Baroness Margaret Thatcher came to the cathedral to bid her farewell. So too did former Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev, the man Mr. Reagan once challenged to tear down that wall. Former Presidents Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, George Bush, and Bill Clinton sat together in two front rows. Also among the almost 4,000 invited guests were most of official Washington, the diplomatic corps, and hundreds of Reagan family friends. They chatted and hugged until television monitors inside the cathedral showed the funeral motorcade slowly approaching, and the crowd grew silent. Outside, in a light drizzle, a hearse carrying the former president's body drove up to the front entrance. As Nancy Reagan, her children, and family friends watched, military pallbearers removed the flag-draped coffin and brought it up the cathedral steps. Mr. Reagan's casket was then carried inside and down the center aisle as former Senator John Danforth, the Episcopal priest who officiated over the service, read from the scriptures.
I am the resurrection and the life, saith the Lord. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Almost all of the former president's funeral service had been planned for many years, as it is for most presidents. One thing Mr. Reagan requested was that Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor read from a 1630 John Winthrop sermon, which the former president said had inspired him.
For we must consider that we shall be as a city upon a hill. The eyes of all people are upon us.
The former president's optimistic view of the nation as a shining city on a hill was praised repeatedly. Former British Prime Minister Thatcher, who recorded her tribute because of her ill health, called Mr. Reagan a strong leader who sought to renew the American spirit and to rid the world of communism.
These were causes hard to accomplish and heavy with risk. Yet they were pursued with almost a lightness of spirit. For Ronald Reagan also embodied another great cause, what Arnold Bennett once called the great cause of cheering us all up.
Former President Bush spoke emotionally of his predecessor's warmth.
As his vice president for 8 years, I learned more from Ronald Reagan than from anyone I encountered in all my years of public life. I learned kindness. We all did.
He said Mr. Reagan also taught him courage and decency.
And oh, how President Reagan loved a good story. When asked, how did your visit go with Bishop Tutu? He replied, so-so.
The current President Bush, who sat in the front row across from Mrs. Reagan, gave the final tribute. He said the former president's death marked the end of a great American story. He recounted Mr. Reagan's modest beginnings and how he went from movie star to politician, from governor to president. He said Mr. Reagan came to office with great hopes for the country.
President Reagan was optimistic about the great promise of economic reform. And he acted to restore the rewards and spirit of enterprise. He was optimistic that a strong America could advance the peace. And he acted to build the strength that mission required.
As the tributes and other readings came to a close, Irish tenor Ronan Tynan filled one of Nancy Reagan's requests and sang at her husband's funeral.
Amazing.
After more blessings and songs, the military pallbearers finally returned to their positions. They turned the former president's casket around and slowly took it back down the center aisle. As it passed, many in the congregation put their hands over their hearts. Pam Fessler, NPR News, Washington.